Because of Rabbanim. Rabbosai, Elul is a big thing. Elul is something that there were times when it like struck fear in people's hearts just thinking about Elul. There's a story about someone named Rav Mendel Mivarki that he woke up one morning and fell out of his bed because it was Shabbos Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh Av. So why did he fall out of his bed? Because he said Av is Rosh Hetevis Elul Ba. Elul's coming. Elul's coming. My voice say, Elul is here. Elul is a zman where people, like, it totally transformed in Elul. I read someone who was describing what Yeshivas Chevron was like in 1953 in Elul. Chevron is a yeshiva, you go there, and it's a loud yeshiva. There's a lot of screaming. It's like there's a roar in the Beis Medrash. So he writes, during the month of Elul, everyone was quiet. Everything was an undertone. He said people never stood in crowds. Everyone was like standing in their own place. It's like everything's different. There's a transformation of Elul. I'll tell you a story that they said over by the Shiva of Mashkiach. When I was in Yeshiva, our Mashkiach was named Moshe Schwab. Moshe Schwab was the Mashkiach of Yeshiva de Pesei. And the story was that this story of Nosson Wachtvogel was the Mashkiach in Lakewood. And the story was that one time Rav Nosson Wachtvogel went to a chasana in Muncie, and Rav Moshe lived in Muncie. So he wanted to go visit Rav Moshe to speak to him about something. So he told his driver, can we stop off by Rav Moshe Schwab? I'd like to speak to him. And the driver said to him, you know, it's very late at night. I don't know if we should just knock on the door unannounced. And Rav Moshe said, nothing to worry about. And he went and he knocked on the door and Rav Moshe was up. It was very late at night. So the driver asked him, how'd you know that Rav Moshe was going to be up so late at night? So Rav Nosson said, Elul. You think he goes to sleep early during Elul? It's Elul. Or Mashkiach during Elul? For sure he's burning the midnight oil. The people have an appreciation for what Elul is. And Elul just doesn't mean the same thing anymore to us. Something happened. And the Dubna Magid explains what happened to Elul. And he tells the following story. A mashal. Rubna Mag was famous for his mashalim. So he used the mashal to explain. Because the Yetzirah, my friends, he's not just going to let us like go easy with the Elul. So the Yetzirah has to come up with a way to try to steal Elul from us. How does he do it? Says the Dubna Magid, the following mashal. There was once a person who was a wealthy man. And he would always have his money that he made, his profits. He'd have someone take it, and he would transport the profits to the bank. And he'd go, and this person would carry his money to the bank, and the money would then be deposited in the bank. And it was a routine. Every day, he'd go, and he was making a lot of money. And there was a lot of money every day that was going from point A to point B. And there was someone that was there who was trying to figure out, how am I going to get my hands on that money? It was a ganav. Said, I can't just walk over to him and mug him in broad daylight, you know. All he has to do is scream ganav and everyone's going to be all over me. And it's always happening during the day. It's at the end of the day. It's, you know, it's still there's still people around. He's trying to figure out how is he going to steal the money. He came with the following plan. He went into a suit store. And he told the person in the suit store, I would like to have a tailor-made suit. Not for me. I work for a very wealthy man, and he asked me that I want to get him like a perfect suit, really made very nicely. He said, okay, tell me the dimensions of the person we're making the suit for. He said, I don't really know the exact dimensions, but I got an idea. Let's go in the street, we'll find someone who's got the same build as my boss, and we'll get him to try on a suit, and then you'll figure out what the dimensions are. says, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's what we're going to do. So they walk in the street, this Ganav, who's pretending that he's looking to buy a suit, and the suit store owner, and they bump into this fellow who's carrying the money. He says, could you do me a favor? Do you mind just coming in here for a moment and just trying on a suit? Because you have the exact same dimensions as my boss. And if you do, so then I could get this suit for him and be a big favor for me. The guy says, sure, no problem. That's what you want to do. He walks in, he puts down his bag. And he tries on the suit. And as he's standing there trying on the suit, so this thief grabs the bag and runs. Now, what's he thinking? For sure, the person who's in charge of the money starts running after him. But the owner of the store says, no, no, you can't leave my store. He goes, what do you mean? The guy stole my stuff. He says, you got to take off the suit. That's my suit. You can't leave with my suit. So he's got to take off the jacket. He's got to take off the pants. Till he takes off the jacket and the pants and gets outside, the guy's gone. That was his chap. That was his way of stealing the money, says the Dubna Magid. We're walking around. El is big bucks. El is serious. It's always got to figure out, how is he going to steal the El from us? So he's got to come up with distractions. He comes up with distractions, the things that, you know, of course I got my El, but before I can get there to scream Ganav, first I got to take off my suit, I got to take off the jacket, get off the pants. First I got to go meet my friends, I got to go get my ice cream, I got to go play my ball, I got to have my chill. Before you know it, your El's gone. And you lost your L. He just creates that type of decoy, and then we lose it. So Rabbi say, if we want to bring back L, let's try to understand B'siyata D'shmaya, what is L? Let's understand what's supposed to happen during L. I want to share with you a fascinating medrash. It's a Sifri. Sifri on this week's parasha. It says, Kiseitze la mulchoma aloifecha. The parasha begins, when you go to war on your enemies, and Hashem puts your enemies in your hand, and you have captives. And this is the case of this woman who, she was a part of the opposing nation. Verisa bashimya eshes yefas toya. This woman, you want to take her as a wife. So what happens? You bring her into your house. There's different things to happen. She has to take off the clothing that she was wearing when she went out to war. Change her clothing. She sits in your home. She cries for her father and her mother. For Yerach Yomim means like a moon's time or a month. Afterwards, after that, then she can join the family. She can become your wife, if that's the case. So what's she crying for? She's crying for her mother or her father. That's what it seems like in the Pasuk. But the Sifri says it's maybe something else. Maybe it's referring to, says the Sifri, she's actually crying for her Avodah Zarah. The Sifri says, the Pasuk says sometimes, so Imru le'etz avi'ata. Sometimes people can call a tree my father. Who calls a tree my father? It means that a person who worships Avodah Zarah calls the tree his father. She's crying for her Avodah Zarah, says the Sifri. So we give her a month to cry for Avodah Zarah. Why are we allowing her to, why are we giving her time to mourn her Avodah Zarah? What's that about? And what's the month? The Sfarim tell us the month is the month of El. It's the month of El. So what's happening here? So perhaps we can explain based on Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibaditchev. Rabbi Yitzchak says the following thing. He says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that El is Rosh Hashanah to Meiser Behema. There's different types of Rosh Hashanahs. There's Arba Rosh Hashanahs. El is Rosh Hashanah for Meiser of Behema. And Rabbi Yitzchak explains as follows. You see, a person during the course of the year can end up kind of acting like an animal. And Elul is when you've got to change that. Up until then, a person who does an Avera, he's really acting in a certain way like an animal.
And if a person wants to be able to become really a human, he wants to become a man, that's when he starts using his seichel, using his mind. And he changes. And that's when a person can start having yirah shamayim. A person can start establishing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That happens in Elul. Elul is Rosh Hashanah lemaiser behema, because we've been acting in a certain way like animals up until now. And now is our time to try to move from animal to person. In what way? I think perhaps what he means is like this. There's such a thing called herd mentality. Animals travel in packs. Animals, they kind of like just do what other animals do. There's very little individuality or none when it comes to an animal. And when a person is just going through life on the conveyor belt of life, and he's just kind of like moving along, so he hasn't in any way brought out his individuality. Who am I? Where is my relationship with Hashem? And it can get forgotten over the course of the year. And Elul is a time when we're supposed to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elul is Rosh Tevos, Ani Lidoidi, Vidoidi Li. I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have built a relationship with Hashem that I feel is unique. There's nothing about an animal that's unique. Every animal is the same. But a person can build a relationship with Hashem that's unique to me. I can have my own personal relationship. And I do that during Elul. And not everyone does it. Meiser Behema means 1 out of 10 actually end up doing it. But they're animals. A person has 10 animals. The 10th one's Kodesh. This one's Kodesh. Maybe a lot of other people aren't doing it. I'm not busy with them now. I'm not busy with that now. I don't care what other people are doing, what's happening with them, says the Sfas-Emes. In Elul, I focus on my relationship with Hashem. I try to like block everything else out. It's just me and Hashem during Elul. The Or Chaim explains that's the whole idea of a korban. Why do we bring a korban? A korban is an animal. A person sins, and he brings a korban. Says the Or Chaim, because when you sin, what you're really doing is, in a certain way, you're acting like an animal. You're just following your urges. And a person follows an urge just like an animal. Animals don't struggle with their conscience. You know, they don't think about, should I do this, should I not do this? You know, animals don't work on establishing relationships. Animals just go with whatever their body tells them to do. And when a person brings a korban, what he's doing is, he's sacrificing his animal. Because every one of us has animalistic urges. And we acted like an animal when I gave in. I gave in to that. And I bring a korban. What I'm trying to say is, the animal in me, I'm done with that. I'm going to sacrifice the animal. And I'm going to try to be a person. Adam ki yakriv miken korban mashem. Now I'm an Adam. Now I'm a person. The Kli Yochar says something beautiful. There's many different descriptions to people. There's Ish, there's Enosh, there's Adam, and there's Gever. All the other ones, they have a Lashon Rabim. Gever is Gvarim. Ish is Ishim. Enosh is Anoshim. Adam, there's no such thing as Adamim. There's no such word. Says the Kli Yochar, Adam means unique. Adam ki yakriv miken korban. When I am unique in establishing my relationship with Hashem, I'm giving up on my urges of just being like all the other animals. And I bring my korban. That's when we make a transformation from one lifestyle to another. And perhaps that's the remez here in the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, now, we're talking about a month's time. A month is usually a chodesh. The word yerach is not the word we usually use for a month. The only time we use the word yerach is when a person writes a get. So it doesn't say in the get, lechodesh, and you write a ksuba. In the ksuba, it will say that it's this amount of days, lechodesh Nisan, lechodesh Elul, whatever the month is. In a get, it writes leyerach. So, why are we using the word yerach here? Because what this person is doing is, she had a lifestyle that was with Avodah Zarah and with all that Goyishkeit. And now, we want her to join now the Jewish people. She needs a month of transformation to leave behind what she used to be part of her life. Yerach Yomim. Leave it behind. We're done with that. No more of the animal lifestyle. And that's the change. The change that happens in Elul. And that's why over here, she's crying for Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean she's crying. It means we're giving her a month for her to be able to establish her new identity. To change, to become someone new, happens in the month of Elul. This is our month to say whatever I was doing is no longer a part of me. I always say Elul is our korban. It's our korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elul is a month when the regular routine of life changes. You don't necessarily do all the things. Maybe, you know, this is what we've been doing up until now. But I'm giving a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kind of like try to fix what happened over the course of the last year. And you could do it in El. The Gemara says, Noisnim lebesula shnei masar chodesh. Which means, a besula gets 12 months to prepare for a wedding. She's allowed 12 months. But Rabbi Levi Yitzchak tells us that there's a remes here, because the mazel of the month of Elul is besula. Each month has its own mazel. The name of the mazel of the month of Elul is besula. A besula can give you 12 months. You could get everything back. Your korban for everything that went wrong in the year is the month of Elul. If we just give this month to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps this is pshat in the pasuk. The Malbim says something like this. The pasuk says, Tzikoscha kahar reyel, u'mishpatecha toim rabba, adam u'behema toshia Hashem. The pasuk we say on Shabbos Mincha, Tzikoscha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzedek, is kehar, is like a mountain. U'mishpatecha ketahoim, Rabbah. And your mishpat is like a depth. Adam u'behema toshia Hashem. So the pasuk says, Tzikoscha kehar, your tzedek is like a mountain. Mishpatecha ketahoim is like the lowest depths. Adam u'behema toshia Hashem. What does it mean? There's one thing which is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzedek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashem is Hashem hu tzadik. Like the pasuk we say, tzadik hu Hashem. There's a bechina of where things are happening right. It's going where things are going straight. That's a bechina when a person is acting like an Adam. When he has the tzelem Elokim, so then it's tzikoscha kehar, a person's living on a high plane. And then there's mishpat. Mishpat is when a person does something wrong and he has to get judged. And that's the tahoim. And that's behema. A behema is a low animal. People stand erect. All animals are bent over to the ground. They're the tahoim. It's the lowliness that a person can fall to. Adam u'behema toshia Hashem. Tzedek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kehar. Mishpat is ketahoim. Adam u'behema toshia Hashem. I would say a person has a choice. He's called Adam. But Adam really means two things. Well, the Shirish comes from two places. It's either Adama. Adama is the ground. Or it's Adame. Adame means I am similar to, or I have a likeness. Adame. I'm doime to Hashem. Adam, he can either make himself a tzelem Elokim. He can either live in a very lofty, exalted place where he's kehar. Or a person can just feel drawn downward to the ground.
to be Adama.
Our challenge is to take the high road. Geharare. Let's try to be Adama. Let's try to get in touch with our neshama. To try to give our neshama the chiyus that it needs in order to be able to shine, that we should be able to live. It's a transformation for many of us. And the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Yetzer Hara always an advantage. Yetzer Hara always has an advantage. When we're born with Yetzer Hara. Till we're 13, the Yetzer Hara gets to get his head start. At 13, we get a Yetzer Tov. So we're like working catch up. We're trying to catch up the Yetzer Tov. And the Yetzer Hara already has the case of the Shivya that we're talking about in our Pasuk. She's already got Avodah Zarah in her life. And she's got to somehow extract the Avodah Zarah. That's the way it goes. Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't have anything. If he doesn't have a head start, he's got nothing. There's nothing there. It's pure emptiness. The Yetzer Hara, be'etzem, when Yaakov Avinu fought with the Sar Shel Esav, he said to him, "What's your name?" And the Sar Shel Esav said, "Why are you asking me my name? I don't understand." They're having a fight. So the Sar Shel Esav says to Yaakov, "What's your name?" He says, "My name's Yaakov." "Oh, okay." So he says, "What's your name?" Sounds like a great conversation. "Why asking my name? What do you mean, why ask my name? You ask me your name, I'll ask you your name. What's his answer? Why are you asking my name?" Yitzhar's answer is, "Look, I don't have a name. Because a name means an essence. It means the substance. It means what do I have? I don't got nothing. It's all just bluff." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Yitzhar a head start. Because then when you get sucked in already, so you think that maybe there's something there. And we have to kind of like pull it out of ourselves in order to realize that's really nothing. That's the avoid of El. What we're trying to do during El is we're trying to make a change in our lives. This is the time to do it. Now, it's definitely a challenge. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges that we face as a society is the challenge that a person has with his relationship with technology. People are so connected, they feel so like, they feel so, we use the word, addicted to their technology to the point where they feel like can't let go. There's a boy telling me a story that he has a friend who is a very heavy drug addict. I'm not talking, heavy stuff. And he was standing around with a few of his buddies. And they were on their phones, and he said to them, "I just want you guys to know something. You are more addicted than I am. Because you got your phones. I'm just doing heroin." Our relationship with technology is such a challenge for us. To be able to rip it out of our lives. And maybe in order for us to be able to feel comfortable doing it, it might take an Elul. It might take an Elul. To be able to do it in a way where we feel that we now are ready for a new life. But Rabbi Isai, this is something that I need for you to understand. In general, you might hear from Rabbonim, from Yeshivas, from Rabbeim, that they don't like when people have technology, iPhones, viewing devices. You know, we're not going to discuss exactly what, if it's a, you know, what's the name of the device. If you have a question, then we could talk about it. And I'm sure that there's plenty of people that don't like it. And even if they catch it, there's going to be repercussions. By me, it's to the point where I stop functioning. Whenever this type of thing comes into my crosshairs, there is nothing else in my life other than eradicating it. I cannot have, under any circumstances, anyone that's going to have in yeshiva any type of viewing device. I can't have it. And if it's going to be here, So then, I heard a story that, there was a yeshiva who heard that they had viewing devices. He said, I'm closing my yeshiva, and he walked out. And then he came back. I will not come back. I cannot have a yeshiva with viewing devices. I will not. So it's either me or you. Now, Baruch Hashem, I do a lot here. And I don't plan on leaving. But my friends, I want to explain to you what I'm saying. Because I want to be clear. There is no one who has the right to be in this yeshiva if he has with him any type of viewing device that's internet capable, that's video capable. You're not a part of our yeshiva. You are not here. You don't have right to sleep here. You do not have right to eat here. You are not a part of this yeshiva. I don't want your tuition, and I don't want you here. Now, I'm pretty sure that you would never walk into my house and steal something from one of my closets. But what you're doing by being here, no one here has these things. But if you're here, you're stealing from yeshiva, you're a ganef. You're a ganef. You don't like the yeshiva's policy? I respect that. You could go to another yeshiva. They won't call you ganef. There are other yeshivas where maybe they tell you not to have it, they catch you, they'll take it away, they'll this, they'll that. I don't know. That's not the way we do things. And you are entitled to your opinion. But so am I. So am I. And the way we're doing things here is, any person that has such a thing is not a part of the yeshiva. And if Chas V'Shalom is found with such a device, I guess leave immediately. Immediately. He's not part of the yeshiva. He's just not. He's now. There are certain situations where things come up over the course of the year, however it might happen. If someone is coming forward and saying, this is something which I have, I'd like to give it in. So then you could either go to the Mashkiach if you want, you could come to me, you could go to Rabbi Glazer, whatever you want to do, you bring it forward, so then we're not asking any questions, you can move on. But I'm telling you now, and I'm sad to say, I've never gone 1 year without having to ask someone to leave yeshiva. Which means that people get caught. And you might think, I'm not going to be that person. And maybe I'll do it and you won't know about it. Stam, you're a ganef. You're a ganef. Second of all, you are going to get caught. You don't know how. It happens. So it's your decision. We, Beis Hashem, as a tzibur, have seen tremendous siyata d'shamayim of people making huge changes in their lives. And the most beautiful thing, my friends, is when boys leave this yeshiva, the thing they're proud of the most is our no-tolerance policy to technology. They love it. Everyone, I hear it in America all the time. I love it. Because once you make that change, you see how beautiful, how wonderful it is to actually be able to talk to people, to be able to live life, to be real. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help. But this El should be an El which for all of us, every one of us, myself including, I have a lot of things I'm working on. I'm going to try to work Beis Hashem and Siyata D'Shamaya. We should be able to change. We should be able to grow. We should be able to, as together, as a yeshiva, as a chabura, as a family, we should be able to together be able to say that we are Amcha Yisrael Asher Becho Aspar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proud of every one of us. We should go Maila Maila B'derech Albamas HaTorah V'Yir B'derech Kedusha V'Tahara.